Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a very blessed Good Friday on this last Friday of March 29th, 2024. I am thrilled to have, for the very first time, even though I've known this brother for quite a number of years, I finally have him on the program. I'm not even sure why it took so long to get him on the program. But today we have, for the very first time, Tim Bushong, pastor of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana. He is a musician and co-host of the soon-to-be-released podcast, Reforming Grandma's Church. And today we're going to be addressing Bringing Reformation to Music. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Tim Bushong.
Thank you so much, Chris. It is just a great privilege to be sitting in this chair right next to you. Well, anyway, yeah, I've been listening to the program for many years and really benefited a lot from Iron Sharpens Iron. And wow, I'm just, again, my privilege, my honor, and my great surprise to be on your show.
Well, one of the reasons your name is no doubt familiar to some of the audience of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is your longtime, very close friendship with Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, who has brought you up on the dividing line numerous times and, in fact, has played some of your music there.
Yes, yes. I think that's one of the funnier works of providence that God has done in my life. Is back in 15, I had a couple weeks where I was slow in the studio and had some extra time and reached out to Rich Pierce and said, hey, I think Radio Free Geneva needs something a little heavier. And do you remember the very first time they auditioned the music, and Rich told James, well, you better get a deep seat in the saddle. And after the song was done, the first thing James White said was, I can tell you one thing right now. When I was a kid, I wouldn't have been allowed to listen to that kind of music.
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah.
A mighty fortress is our God.
Gung, gung, gung. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I thought, boy, I bet our households were similar growing up. And sure enough, yeah, they were.
Well, you are certainly a talented brother. And why don't you tell us about Syracuse Baptist Church of Syracuse, Indiana, which is also a church that should be familiar to my listeners, because you do the voiceover for one of my versions of the New American Standard Bible commercial. You do one of the you do one of the testimonies, because you do love that translation.
Yeah, I remember when you reached out, and I think it was via email, and I said, you bet, I use the 95 NASB and had for quite a while. You know, I was perfectly comfortable with the 1984 NIV, I'll be honest. And I've got some side notes in there where the language may be a little little too paraphrastic, but you know, they forced my hand in 97. And then later on when they said, well, we're no longer going to print this version. So I made the leap to, and it wasn't quite as big a leap as you might think, to the New American Standard. Syracuse Baptist Church has been in my hometown since 1994. And believe it or not, I live exactly 1 mile from the church house. I've lived on this property since 87. It's actually been in the Bushong family since the mid 19th century. The way the story goes, a bunch of farmers were on their way to Illinois from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and decided they liked the woods and the lakes. So they moved here, and we live on old family land. So this church originally was a United Brethren church, the building, right across the street from a one-room schoolhouse that's still in very good shape. And that's where my grandpa, Gerald Bushong, had attended school when he was a boy. And here's something really interesting. I know you're going to have me give my testimony. I'll give you my dad's testimony. He was born in 32, and he answered the call to repent and receive Christ as his Lord and Savior in the building I now pastor.
Wow.
And I am now older at 63 than he was when he died. He was a godly man, died of cancer in 94. Everybody was just like, what? No way. And, but anyway, he had, when he was 12 years old, he went forward during a revival service and never turned back. And I'm just like, I don't know how it gets much better than that, you know.
And I understand that you are a confessionally reformed Baptist church.
Yeah, I came to this church in June of 2017, and at the time there were 11 people in the church. They were ready to close the doors. And this is, you know, just to tie into what you said about the upcoming Reforming Grandma's Church podcast that Pastor Jason Gingrich and I are going to be doing. He's one of my best friends. We both left very comfortable church situations, churches we had planted. Our fingerprints were on everything. And we left those situations to come to a little country church full of older Barney Fife people. You know, everyone wants to be the leader and no one's qualified and all kinds of different things. And so this church is in the Southern Baptist Convention. We still are. And we're also a 1689 church. So there we go. Founders. We love the founders. We're a member of the founders group.
Yeah, I love the founders too. And I love interviewing Tom Askell, their president.
He's a good brother.
If anybody doesn't understand what we're talking about, that the Founders Ministries is a ministry made up of Southern Baptists that are seeking to bring a revival of those very teachings taught by the founders of the Southern Baptist Convention. Each and every one of them was a thoroughgoing Calvinist, a firm believer in the doctrine of grace. And now, in our current day and age, that viewpoint is a tiny minority in the Southern Baptist Convention, tragically.
Yes, that's exactly right. And I had known my connection with the Southern Baptist Convention. I remember in 06 when Brother Askell and James White were supposed to debate the Cantor brothers.
Oh, yeah, I remember that as well.
And I was following that pretty closely. And if anyone, you know, it's online. If you want to see the email exchange between the two parties, it's on the Alpha and Omega website. But so I was interested. Interested in this. Do you want me to get to my testimony yet? Because I can fill this in.
You can speak freely what's on your mind.
Okay. I was raised in a Christian house, for which I am absolutely blatheringly grateful. Absolutely, yes. I knew Jesus was God in the flesh, I knew that the only way that I could be saved from my own sin was through the blood of Christ shed on the cross. I was baptized when I was 12, and this would have been in 1973. The Year of the Evangelical was 3 years later. Remember Time Magazine and Jimmy Carter and all that. And I just, as a young man, became disillusioned with the church. It was my own fault. I didn't really internalize what I knew to be true. And so I spent many years trying to be a rock star, and met my wife in early 82, got married in 83. We've been married. It'll be 41 years this summer. Praise God for that. And it was in beginning in May of 1986, I began to just come under the heavy conviction of the Spirit that I had to either go one way or the other. I couldn't continue to be in a heavy metal touring rock band with a bunch of pagans and think that I've got it all figured out, right? And so it was about a year later, kind of dramatically, the band I was playing with, the keyboard player had been murdered and beaten to death. And the drummer and I were, now this is before we knew any of this, the drummer and I were tasked with going to talk some sense into him because he missed a gig. We knew he was either drinking or doing a bunch of blow. We really didn't know. And so band meeting, okay, you guys on your way home, stop by and try to talk sense into him. And that's when we found him. And at that moment, I knew it's just a matter of time. I have to repent of my being an idiot, my sin, and get serious about what I knew to be true. And so it was about a month after we found the guy that the first person I called was my dad. I was like, "Hey, Dad, I got something to tell you." And I drove to his house, and oh, it was just wonderful. He hugged me and he said, "Oh, Tim, I'd committed you unto God years ago. I couldn't do it." And so we had a great, we always had a great relationship, but that just sweetened everything. And so at the time, having grown up in that kind of fussy, overly fastidious, fundamentalist kind of background, I kind of went the other way. I said, "Hey, maybe these charismatics have something to offer." And, so I experienced what I thought was the second work and the baptism, and I spoke in some kind of thing. I could do it right now. I don't think I should. And so we were in a church, a good church, by the way, who really loved on us, took the Bible seriously. They had a biblical ecclesiology. And but it was about 7 years into that so between 87 and 94, I was definitely a charismatic, but I was also coming to believe in the doctrines of grace. And that happened by reading the Bible. The book of John was massive in changing my worldview from the, but you got to do your thing to salvation is of the Lord. And then you read the rest of the New Testament. And then you go back and read the Old Testament, and so anyway, we left that church on really, really good terms, started attending a Reformed Baptist church in Winona Lake, Indiana. And so during that time period, just became more and more convinced and solidified and really, really rested in the truth of the doctrines of grace. And then in 2005, we and a number of families decided to plant a church. That's another story altogether. That's where I was located when I got the call from Syracuse Baptist to come here. So now we've got about 120, 130 people. The auditorium fits 90. God's been really good to us. We just baptized 9 people last Lord's Day on Palm Sunday. And I tell you what, the old prayer, "God, send the people of your choosing to our fellowship," has just been answered so many times. I'm so grateful to the Lord for the people that he sent. And In fact, one of the guys I baptized, though, to tie it back into music, I met him 22 years ago. He was a studio client, a singer in a metal band. And he had reached out to me about a year ago, and we started talking. And he's like, I want to get serious about God. I've been reading the Bible. I want my whole family to, you know. So it was such a joy to baptize him, man, I tell you.
Praise God.
So anyway, that's a little bit of my testimony right there.
Well, I've already said in your introduction that you are a musician, a singer, a studio music recorder. And,
yeah.
And before we go to our first commercial break, I want to play one of the songs that you have recorded, Hail to Jesus, from Psalm 110. Is there anything you care to say to set this song up before I play it?
Yeah, the psalm was adapted into versified lyrics by Brianna Smith. She is the wife of the man who's my assistant pastor, the other elder at Syracuse Baptist, Matt Smith. And to be honest, I had just mentioned, this is the kind of people I get to serve. I'd mentioned how much I wanted to sing Psalm 110, how much it had, you know, influenced my theology, my eschatology, and all these things. I just couldn't find a good version of it. And 7 days later, in my inbox are the words versified out. And so it was another probably 9 months before I finally got around to setting it to music. And when I was working on it, I realized, you know, this could actually use a chorus, a refrain, as the old people would call it. So I wrote the Hail to Jesus, Christ is reigning. But she wrote all the words, and that set the thing in motion. So, yep.
Great.
It's our original composition.
Well, here is Hail to Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. What a powerful, powerful song. And there was obviously some Celtic or Irish influence in that, wasn't there?
Yeah, just a tad. As soon as you add flute to like a 6/8 beer stein swinging rhythm, you're going to get a little Celtic.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Well, we are going to our first commercial break, and if you have any questions you'd like to ask of your own for Pastor Tim Bushon on our theme, Bringing Reformation to Music, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence, if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you disagree with or have a problem of some kind with the music that is being played and sung in your own congregation, and obviously you wouldn't want to identify yourself publicly about that. Maybe you're even the pastor, and you have those problems, and you have disagreements maybe even with your own elders or your denomination or something. Whatever the case may be, you may remain anonymous if it's a personal and private matter, but please, if it's a general question, give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com I'm going to enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget, folks, royaldiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this absolutely mind-blowing opportunity. RoyalDiadem.com is giving Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener, as long as that listener mentions Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they make their purchase. So whether you are purchasing a piece of jewelry they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you're having a one-of-a-kind custom designed piece of jewelry created, let's say you're popping the question, you are going to propose to that special lady, you need an engagement ring, or maybe you want to turn your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your denomination logo, or your seminary logo into a pendant for a necklace or a ring, or anything else your imagination and creativity can conjure up in your brain. They will take what's in your brain and turn it into a physical piece of mind-blowing jewelry, and I've seen firsthand the amazing craftsmanship that is poured into each and every piece of the customized jewelry created by RoyalDiadem.com. So if you have any intention on buying yourself or someone you love jewelry, and keep in mind, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and so is Father's Day, and I'm sure many of you will be celebrating wedding anniversaries and all other kinds of events that might lend you to desiring to purchase jewelry for someone you love. Well, whatever the case may be, please go to RoyalDiadem.com today to at least get the ball rolling on your purchase of jewelry. And the reason why I'm asking you to do this today is we have no idea when RoyalDiadem.com is going to pull the plug on their offer to us, where we get 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to one of our listeners who mentions Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And keep in mind, this wonderful offer that they are giving us, this 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, that's on top of the monthly giving that they already automatically provide for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Shows you how much the folks at RoyalDiadem.com love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and desire for it to remain on the air. So go to RoyalDiadem.com today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I just want to let you know we're back now with our guest today, Tim Bushong. And by the way, Tim, what ethnic origin is Bushong? Is that German?
I'm glad you asked. Remember on the old All in the Family where Archie would go, "So who are your people?" It's actually Swiss.
Oh, okay.
So there's kind of a quick history. The Swiss Brethren were, you know, kicked out of every decent country in Europe, ended up in Germany for a while, then in London, and then actually joined up with the German Palatines and came over to Pennsylvania. And both sides of my family, my sister Julie is in the Daughters of the American Revolution on both sides. Huh. We've been here, both been here since like 1710, something like that.
Well, yep. I want to remind our listeners also, if you'd like to send in a question of your own, chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com is our email address, and we are discussing bringing Reformation to music. And please give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence, when you send in a question. Well, that theme, bringing Reformation to music, is an implication that you believe that in many instances, not all, but many instances, you believe that there is something within the music loved by, listened to, by and sung and performed by Christians, that is, that there's something lacking in that. If you could tell us, what is it?
Soul. There, we're done. No, you know, you're right. And okay, I don't want anyone to mishear me. I'm not a music snob. I personally like all kinds of music. I personally will record anyone in my studio. As you probably picked up, I'm bivocational. I also tune pianos, but that's that's just tuning. That's not making music, really. So there's don't take anything that I say about music to be, oh, he just doesn't like that kind of music. There's a couple things involved, Chris, and I think these are what I want to see working through the next few decades in the evangelical church. So I grew up with the hymns. Every church experience we had, whether it was the Brethren in Christ or, you know, Baptist, GARBC Baptist, whatever, they always sang out of a hymn book. In fact, my dad would lead the singing, and he played trumpet. He was a very talented trumpet player. His guy was Harry James, if you know who that is. And he would oftentimes play the third verse and the stanza and the refrain on his trumpet. So I grew up with all those kind of revivalistic songs, you know, not the first 30 pages in the hymnal, but the ones after that, you know, showers of blessing and that kind of thing. And so there's kind of some corniness that is attached to that. It's early 20th, mid 20th century church music.
Yeah, and well, that obviously depends on what hymnal you're using, because
that's right. That's right.
Like the Trinity hymnals, for instance, are usually containing hymns dating to the 19th century and prior. Although they may have some more modern hymns that I'm not thinking.
That's
of.
Right. Yeah, and so both of my parents, musicians, sang in a gospel group going up in the late 60s and early 70s. My mom gave me some advice back when we planted this church in 05 and I was in charge of the music. She said, now remember that oftentimes, most of the time, hymnals are put together by committee. The people on that committee are going to be a little older, but the people on the committee will also be hearkening back to the halcyon days of their youth. So oftentimes what gets put in the hymnal by committee is the stuff that would have been popular even 50 or 60 years prior to that. Maybe I'm using round figures here, maybe 50. And isn't it interesting in the Trinity hymnal, towards the back, there's that section called hymns for informal occasions. Well, those are the songs I grew up singing. It's those informal occasion hymns, right?
Are they? Would they be reminiscent of barbershop quartets?
Oh yeah, that's a pretty good analogy, brother. Some of the harmonies. We have a joke with our church pianist Judy Smith. She's older. In fact, she said, "Well, this will date me. When I was in junior high, I had a crush on your dad." I thought, oh man, we're going way back here. But anyway, I'll look at her and say, now where's my six? Well, a six is kind of it's an extra note added onto a major chord that it's kind of corny in some, like you say, it would be like the barbershop quartet harmony. And you know, a lot of that stuff is, again, back to grandma's church. It's a little bit maudlin. It's supposed to tug on the heartstrings of the emotion. You know, oh, Oh, mother, I promise I'll never touch another drop of gin again. You know, that kind of emotive music. And so that's okay. Let's take that scenario and say, okay, there are churches that probably used to be like that, but that's not the norm anymore. What has absolutely taken over church music is the mid to late 60s style of singing maybe, I don't know, 15 to 20 minutes worth of music all at the same time, where you begin with more upbeat songs, you kind of level it out towards the middle, and then at the end you're singing those a little more slower paced kind of, you know, come Holy Spirit songs. And in the charismatic church, of course, then that would be followed by singing in the Spirit or whatever, you know. But even your mainstream evangelical churches do it like that. Whereas a traditional worship service would be paced, where you've got an opening hymn, call to worship, response of the congregation, confession of the faith, confession of the sin, another response by the congregation, maybe the sermon at that point, then another response. Then you'd have the Lord's Supper, and then the congregation responds and the minister pronounces the benediction. That's really been more the history of the church across the world than the 20 to 25 minutes of praise and worship. And isn't it interesting that, you know, you talk to people, and let's say they're from a more of a modern church sensibility, they'll say, well, our church really emphasizes worship. What they mean by that is our church really puts a lot of time and effort into the music, because they're not thinking the proclamation of God's word from the holy desk as worship. That's more like teaching.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I can recall James White being with him at conferences, many conferences, some of which I arranged, at all different kinds of churches.
Yeah.
I can remember him getting upset a couple of times. And when...
What? Wait, James White get upset? Who are we talking about here?
But one thing I know gets his craw is when a praise band will finish performing, and sometimes I literally mean performing because it's more entertaining than anything else, and the worship leader or the pastor will say, and now that the time of worship has concluded, we will hear a sermon by Dr. James R. White. As if the sermon is not a part of worship. And in fact, it's really the most important part of worship. But anyway, I interrupted you.
No. And that's a good point. See, these are ecclesial issues. These are issues of what is the church about. In fact, if you want to break the question down, what is happening when the church meets together for corporate worship? Not what are you doing, but what is happening. Those are related but different. And I think as you begin to study and think through some of these issues, you realize, okay, my view of God has gone from Jesus knocking at the knobless door painting to sovereign Lord, King of the universe. Not one square inch does he not point to and say, that's mine. There's not one rogue molecule, as Dr. Sproul used to say. And so that should then affect these other areas. Just like our friend Dr. White says, Reformed isn't just 5 points. It has implications for apologetics, for family, for corporate worship, absolutely. Now, I'm not saying that unless a church has it down just like we do, that I couldn't go there and worship God with them, maybe, you know, fill the pulpit. I've done that. But at the same time, there has to be a place where you land eventually. And, you know, as they say, as for me and my house, to quote Joshua, we're going to try to mine the depths of the good hymnody and the Psalter and come up with the songs that best reflect what we believe, how God has revealed himself in his Bible.
Amen. And right now we are going to play another one of your songs. And is there anything you care to say to set up "I Know That My Redeemer Lives"?
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, so this song has just recently, last couple years, I think, become very popular. The guys out at Canon Press in Moscow, they did a version that was released about the same time that we released the video on YouTube. By the way, Psalm 110, if anyone wants to see the official video for that, is go to YouTube and look up Syracuse Baptist Church. It's there. But we originally heard it from the old Sacred Harp singers in Ireland singing an a cappella with all the parts.
Now, the harp singing is also the key form of musical worship amongst the primitive Baptists, which are a very tiny minority of churches today, mainly in the Deep South, but other places. When I was listening to the song, I said to myself, I wonder if Tim Bushong loves primitive Baptist harp singing as much as I do. And by the way, folks, even though they call it harp singing, it's a cappella. Which is kind of interesting because the Psalms, that word means song sung to the harp, and yet there are many churches that sing exclusively the Psalms, and they sing them a cappella exclusively. But as soon as your version was over of "I Know That My Redeemer Lives," a primitive Baptist video came on of them singing the same song.
Yeah. It's there were two hymn books that were published in the, I believe, the early 19th century, Walker's Southern Harmony and Sacred Harp. And boy, you want to talk about a deep rabbit hole of musicology. There are a lot of songs in the Sacred Harp collection. And, you know, I'll be honest, when I heard that, the version that probably popped on after ours, in my head, I was hearing the big drum hits, the heavier guitars, the organ swells, all that stuff. And I'm like, this is going to be a good one. I just, you know, once in a while you'll lightning in a bottle and you're like, yeah, this is going to kick pretty hard. At the same time, very congregationally friendly too. We'll talk about congregational singing after the break. But yeah, this was a lot of fun to put together. And the folks, we shot the video out in my woods, very hot summer day, and everyone was just great troopers about it. And really, really loved the call and response style too. So,
well, here is "I Know That My Redeemer Lives."
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Beautiful stuff, Pastor Tim. And we're going to our midway break right now. So if you have any questions that you'd like to send in during this break, send them to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. By the way, we are going to be airing, as we always do, our globally heard commercials. While Grace Life airs their local things, we air our globally heard commercials. So please respond to as many of our advertisers as you can to further ensure that our advertisers will continue to keep us on the air through their financial support. Please don't go away. We'll be right back after this message.
Armored Republic exists to equip free men with tools of liberty to defend God-given rights against the twin threats of tyranny and chaos. If you own a rifle to resist tyrants and criminals, then you should own body armor and a med kit for the same reasons. A rifle stops evil, body armor and a med kit keep you in the fight and preserve your life. Armored Republic is a body of free craftsmen united to create tools of liberty. We are honored to be your armorsmith of choice. Civilian ownership of body armor is about increasing decentralized power and, by comparison, reducing the advantages of centralized power. The danger of centralized power is often represented by the word king. As Americans, we hate the word king applied to any mere man. We are Armored Republic. And in a republic, there is no king but Christ. Arm yourself with tools of liberty at armoredrepublic.com.
Chris Arnson here, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I strongly recommend a church I've been recommending as far back as the 1980s, Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. They endeavor to maintain a God-centered focus and to protect worship from the intrusion of carnal entertainments and distractions. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbc-nj.org. That's gcbc-nj.org. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Atoy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices, and now they're also shipping worldwide. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online worldwide at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 717-249-0231. That's 717-249-0231. For orders of $50 or more, use promo code IRON for an extra 5% off their already discounted prices. And please, let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We are delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired Word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please remember solid-ground-books.com for all your gift-giving needs. With Mother's Day and Father's Day and many other occasions coming up, please go to solid-ground-books.com for the very finest in Christian literature, and always mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my discussion with Tim Bushong on bringing Reformation to music, we have some important announcements to make. If you really love this show, folks, and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, mailing in a physical check to a physical address from your post office the old-fashioned way, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice, like a law firm or a medical firm, or maybe it is just a special event you want to promote. Whatever it is, we would love to start advertising whatever it is that you want to promote, as long as it's compatible with what I believe, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as your donations. So please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, please remember, never give your own church where you are a member less money than you normally give your church if you want to send us a financial gift. Never cut in to the financial resources you have set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own church in order to give to us. Please never do that. And also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a financial gift. The Bible is very clear that we're commanded to use the money that with which he has blessed us, which is still his money. We're primarily to use that to provide for our church and our family, and providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is not a command of God, obviously. But if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, and you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money for benevolence, for recreational and trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us. If you love the show and don't want it to disappear, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, I have extensive lists of biblically faithful churches spanning the entire globe. And I've helped many people all over the world find churches, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live. And that may be you too, well, no matter where in the world you live, if you are without a biblically sound church home. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question for Tim Bushong, a pastor of Syracuse Baptist Church of Syracuse, Indiana, as we discuss the theme that is our central focus of the day, bringing Reformation to music. And before I go to any listener questions, Pastor Tim, why don't you tell us something about this new podcast, Reforming Grandma's Church?
I'm glad you find the title amusing, Chris. it's kind of on purpose. I mean, you know, we wanted to have something snappy. No, it was really long in the making. First had the idea in early 2018. My co-conspirator, Pastor Jason Gingrich of Maple Grove Church in Topeka, Indiana, he had approached me in it was the autumn of 2016. And he said, "I got something to talk to you about." I had met him through doing music, by the way, first. And so anyway, we met lunch. He said, "You know, I had this opportunity. You know, I've been at this church out here forever, helped to establish it. I've been one of the pastors there forever. But a little church in my hometown, right across the street from my house, wants me to come there and be their pastor." And we talked about some details. And at the end of the lunch, I said, "Absolutely, you do it, you know." Well, come to find out, not 9 months later, I was going through the same thing. And so we both left established churches that we had helped to plant to come and pastor little country churches. And so we ended up meeting so many and, you know, getting to know so many other pastors that were really struggling with the same concept. You know, sometimes in the Southern Baptist convention, they'll call it church revitalization, where a church is just kind of burned out of its own inertia. They'll close down, rename it, do some interior decorating, and then reopen as a new church. And I thought, we're not going to do that. We're just going to start from day one. And I got a lot of good advice from a lot of different pastors. Tom Askell, who we talked about earlier, Dan Phillips from the old Pyromaniacs gave me great advice. Doug Wilson from Moscow, Idaho, gave me some great advice. And it was basically just, you know, take your time, be steady, be like an ox and just plod along. preach good sermons, and start making some adjustments. And so we started at Syracuse. We started with 11 people. Now we're up to about 130, and just a great group. So anyway, the podcast is Pastor Jason and myself just talking between the two of us. We also have a kind of a funny feature in the middle of each one. Each episode will be about 25 minutes. Right now we've got 12 in the can. When we're done with the next 12 filming, we're going to start doing interviews with pastors that have also had experiences trying to bring Reformation to a little old church somewhere in the sticks. So, yep, next, let me see, Thursday, I think it drops. Yep.
Great. And let me share some thoughts. Perhaps I'll bounce them off of you and you could respond. One of the things that does concern me about the modern evangelical church is the worship of youth. And and we have got to pattern every single thing that we do in order to keep the interest of the young people. And and silver-haired saints are viewed not only as unnecessary in the congregation, we don't even need to be concerned about anything that they desire or what have you. They're actually a we're actually a burden. We wish they would go to some other church or perhaps just go home to glory.
it would solve everyone's problem.
Yeah, isn't that a danger to have that mindset, which I think is prevalent?
Oh, absolutely. And the thing is, when you try to tailor the style of a worship service, again, back to my question, what is happening when the saints meet together? When you try to tailor that to a demographic group or to someone's sensibilities, you're by definition going to be excluding someone who doesn't have the exact same sensibilities. I mean, think of it. Can you imagine somebody 100 years ago, let's say, and they had to move from Baltimore, Maryland, to Cincinnati, Ohio, and they're looking for a church. And they go to the pastor and they say, you know, we really love your doctrinal stance, your statement of faith. We're kind of looking for a church that reflects more of a Dixieland jazz music motif. Are you guys planning on doing that anytime soon? Well, that would, you're right to laugh because it sounds stupid, but that's what people do. They're looking for something that's going to push their buttons and trip whatever triggers they have in the positive way. And the thing is, I visited lots of churches again with my Christian rock band and stuff, know a lot of different Christians. And again, I'm not trying to throw anyone under the bus, but there's a certain style of approaching the worship of God, and it's definitely it's tailored to a certain sensibility. Do you know who I think it is? It's the same sensibility that Christian radio is geared toward, which is housewives between the ages of 25 and 40.
Well, how did you know that? Because I was on the advertising team at WMCA Radio, a Salem affiliate, for 15 years, and that was definitely a bedrock source of information for selling advertising, knowing who our listeners were. Married women, 25. Yeah. And in fact, after I had left that station and started my own show, my first boss, who hired me, he said, I spoke to the program director at the station, and he'd like to meet with you because he's interested in getting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the station. So I said, oh, that's great. I went out to all the way from Long Island, where I was living at the time, to New Jersey, and the program director said, you know, you put in enough years hosting your own show, so you've proven that you can you can do this, but I've got to be honest, I hate your show. In fact, you interview pastors and theologians for, at that time, it was only an hour. For an entire hour, boring. You said you've got to do what the best of the talk show hosts do, like Jay Leno and David Letterman. At that time, that's who they were.
Right.
And he said, you've got to have a guest on no more than 4 minutes. And if they are really fascinating, when you come back from the commercial break, you have them on for another 4 minutes. And I said, so you want me to pattern a show that's intended to instruct people about the Bible, of the Christian faith, and convey to them eternal truths by imitating Christ-hating secular talk show hosts?
Right. You got to grab them.
And he said, I don't even want you to interview people if you could do that. What I'd rather you do is just field questions from our listeners, who are predominantly married women with children, 25 to 54 years of age. Mm-hmm. And I would like you to field questions from them about their everyday lives and problems that they may run into. And please don't use the Bible too much. And I said, well, first of all, my wife was still living at the time. And I said, if my wife knew that I was giving women advice about anything, you could hear her laughing here in New Jersey all the way from Long Island. I said I'm not a biblical counselor, and I'm not a pastor. Why would I be doing that? And I said, it sounds like you want me to do a one-man version of The View.
<You know? laughs> Boom.
So I passed him up on his absolutely ridiculous. And I didn't get my show on there because I wouldn't change it.
Right, but that is the emotional sensibility. It's reason number 482 why women cannot be pastors. They're not designed for it. And somebody who is probably just jumping out of their chair right now, going, "Hey, just a minute! How does music and singing have to do with that?" I'll tell you what. Right now, the truth is that if you can get the men of your church on board, everyone else will follow. Wives, single women, kids, teenagers, I don't care what the scenario is, if you can get the guys to be with you as a man, as a leader, as an elder in a local church, the rest of it will follow. Now, I'm not saying everything's going to be Tim the Tool Man Taylor, more power, that kind of thing. But I do mean there is definitely a focus in the local assembly that sadly the complementarians don't want to grant outside the church. But that is, God designed men to lead and to protect and provide and even fight off the enemies when the time comes. And I'm sorry, but you're not going to get that kind of mentality singing the majority of what passes for modern Christian worship music. It doesn't enter into it, which is another reason. Sing the Psalms. Right. Work up versions or start doing it. I don't know why more churches don't. You know, I told you I tune pianos, so I'm in a lot of different church situations. And oftentimes it's the worship leader that lets me in the building or whatever. And I just kind of sidle up and go, you know, I have a question. I see some of your set list. Now, as an old rock and roll guy, bands have set lists. Churches have the hymns on the wall on that board, you know, hymn number 278. That's not a set list. That's the hymn. Anyway, squirrel. So I'll say... So how many psalms are you singing as part of your repertoire? And they look at you like you've got lobsters crawling out of your ear. What? Well, we just don't. And there's some reasons for that too. But again, back to my main point on saying that, do not structure the style of music in a local church in the same way that whatever Christian radio station structures their playlist. Don't do it. You're going to end up with a feminized version of something that I don't think pleases the Lord. And frankly, most guys aren't into that anyway. Have you ever seen a group of men who are visibly uncomfortable in one of those services? They don't know what to do with their hands. They're kind of, you know what I mean? It's like, no, give them something to chew on. You know, give them some words, some lyrics that really count for eternity. Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. You know, some of that stuff.
Now, another of my pet peeves, and I hope I don't step on your toes. I know that you have a Christian rock band, but I believe
you had one.
Now, first of all, obviously, if people listen to my show, they'll see that even my opening theme music is heavy rock music.
Mm-hmm.
Instrumentality in the background. But I am a strong believer in congregational worship. And
yes.
I believe that entertainment has become far more the focus and intent of churches, with church growth in mind, typically, mm-hmm. where they really want more than anything to draw in people, because they want the word to spread that they've got such a great praise band or great music. And it's not just the modern churches with their modern music, because you could easily have a confessional Reformed church, that especially one that is of a larger size, which is typically doesn't go hand in hand with Reformed, but within the PCA though, they have very large churches. You could wind up doing the same thing, providing entertainment with a symphony orchestra that you have, or, you know, and even the choirs. So what is your response to my apprehension about entertainment and worship services?
I think you just veered into heresy, and you're on your way to hell. So, all right.
And by the way, the key word there, or key phrase, is worship services. I have no problem even going to secular music concerts, as long as the music is not, especially the lyrical content is not offensive to God. And, you know, women singing who are practically buck naked and all that kind of thing. But I'm speaking about the worship service, the corporate worship service, not even a concert that the church will host or anything like that. I have nothing wrong with that, but I'm talking about a worship service.
Yeah, I used to tour in the band Love War, and then later the Channel Surfers. We had a very specific thing that we did. Preached a leather-lunged gospel. You've broken God's law. You absolutely need a savior. Turn from your wickedness and serve the King of Kings. However, that's not corporate worship. Corporate worship was all the people of God to get together, ages, you know, 2 to 200, and you want everyone to be involved in the structure, in what's happening, in the worship of God.
In fact, you did that with your congregation in the two songs that I played.
You know what? That's the goal, exactly the goal. When the song is in a reasonable key, usually for a guy, for a man like me, I can sing some D notes, but anything higher than that's going to, I can't do it. I've been in worship services before where the lead singer, the guy leading the music, is singing an A and even a B. That's way out of the range of most men. I mean, the vast majority of men can't even get above E, for crying out loud. Sometimes you notice in the old Trinity hymnal, there'll be songs in E flat, and then they'll sing that top note, and boy, that's asking a lot, you know. And you can hear my vocal range is, my voice is probably pretty hashed over the years, but I know where people can sit, you know, as far as the vocal ranges go. And the other thing is, let's sing the songs in a way that's not boring, that doesn't just, you know, drive everyone into the, you know, the Z's, you know, just falling asleep out there.
Like a funeral dirge, like a lot of...
Exactly, yeah. Right.
A lot of Reformed churches sing funeral dirges nonstop.
Yeah. So, it's like you have to be able to think in terms of, okay, this is not about me. This is about Christ and God and his people as we meet together. So when you come to a song like, oh, and you know what my pet peeve is? These guys that'll add a refrain or chorus to an already existing song that was perfectly fine all by itself. You know, Amazing Grace, right. Chris Tomlin's thing. I don't like it, man. I just don't think it helped. There, somebody did that with When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And in order to make their chorus work, they had to slow down the verses. So instead of when I survey the wondrous cross, right? That's the normal rhythm,
right?
A little slower than what we would speak it. It's when I survey the one. So that by the time you get to the chorus, it goes, oh, the wonderful cross. I do not think that helped at all. In fact, I think it takes away from the original Watts vocabulary. But, you know, there's the old man in me. Get off my lawn, you know. But I'll tell you what, if you visit Syracuse Baptist on a Sunday morning, you're going to get blown out of the room, not by the instrumentation, even though we've got, you know, I lead on an acoustic guitar. We've got a bass guitar. We got a Hammond organ, a piano, and my friend Caleb Marshall plays flute and dulcimer. So you've got a lot of instruments. It's the voices. The voices will blow you out because people are singing very loudly. Now, that's what I want to encourage, you know.
We do have a listener named Caleb in Warsaw, Indiana. How close is that to Syracuse?
Caleb stands next to me every Lord's Day when we're doing the music. I know this man.
Okay. And he also spells it with a K.
That's right.
He's asking a question that is assuming something to be true that I don't agree with. But he says, why does the devil have all the good music? And his second question is, why is music with a backbeat the devil's music? I don't know if I agree with that one either. But go ahead.
Yeah, those are two presuppositional questions that you do not answer a fool according to his folly. You're not a fool, Caleb. You know that. You know where I'm coming from. It's okay. First of all, no, the devil doesn't have the good music. We can demonstrate that beyond any question. The backbeat. Now, this is one of those Gothardite sphere. You know, they're. Universe would teach that the backbeat has effects on lab rats and causes them to go into heart palpitations. What a bunch of nonsense. You know, in the Psalter, Psalm 150 especially, praise him with tambourine and loud clanging cymbals. Well, that the word for tambourine is actually toph, and it means any skin or membrane stretched over a frame. Well, that sounds like a drum to me. Now, I don't know what the exact style of the drumming was, you know, I am an old rocker. I mean, I started playing rock and roll when I was in the sixth grade, basically in the early 70s. The backbeat is what it is. And of course, congregationally, you don't need to emphasize a backbeat. You know, we're not trying to get people to dance in the aisles. We are Reformed Baptist after all. But no, the backbeat, that's been the subject of a lot of controversy. And no, there's literally nothing that you can say scripturally. Now, you might want to talk about teleology, which would be the design of something. In other words, if you're trying to put your baby to sleep, you don't play John Philip Sousa And if you're going into, you know, tank battle attacking the enemy, you don't play Christopher Cross, you play Metallica or battle hymns music. You want to get all fired up and go in there and do some damage, you know? So yeah, there's a teleology and there are associations. A lot of studies have been done on that. I've done a lot myself, but no, there's nothing intrinsically wrong about a backbeat. Not at all.
And we're going to our final break, and we are going to be led into the break by the song, What Wondrous Is This? Don't go away.
What Wondrous Love. Wondrous Love.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the Word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Chris Arnson here. I am forever grateful to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service for their generous financial support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But that's not the only reason I love them. CVBBS.com carries the finest in theologically reformed literature from 16th century classics like Calvin's Institutes, 17th and 18th century Puritan treasures like the works of Jonathan Edwards, 19th century volumes by the Prince of Preachers Charles Spurgeon, all the way up to the 21st century with the best of R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, and more. On top of their stellar book selection, CVBBS.com offers up to 50% off retail prices with an added 5% off for orders of $50 or more when using the promo code IRON. Visit CVBBS.com today and use promo code IRON. That's CVBBS.com. Enriching minds and maintaining the theologically reformed influence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio through their financial support. Now shipping worldwide.
Welcome back. And folks, I never want you to forget that this program exists largely because of the financial support of the law firm of Buttafuoco & Associates. If you are the victim of a very serious personal injury or accident or medical malpractice, please call 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit their website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, if you're a man in ministry leadership, don't forget that we are having our next free Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon featuring Dr. Joel Beakey as our keynote speaker, who is the founder and president of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary. And not only is admission free and lunch free, but everybody attending is going to receive a free heavy sack of brand new books personally selected by me and donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. If you'd like to register for this event on June 6th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and that's a Thursday, by the way, at the Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. We are now back, and Tim, we do have a question for you from Joy in Calvin Township, Michigan. Wow, sounds like a place I want to move, Calvin Township.
He'd be surprised.
question from Joy, and it's going to require a brief answer because I need to play your final song of the day.
Sure.
The question is, what is your opinion of Christian musicians, singers, and groups that will record famous Christian songs to new melodies that might be the melodies of famous secular songs that are somewhat off color, if you know what I mean? And I'll give you an example. House of the Rising Sun's melody, which was recorded by the Animals originally, is now the background music for the Five Blind Boys of Alabama's version of Amazing Grace. Any opinion?
Okay. First of all, that example might not be the best because that melody is originally not with the Animals, but
way
before that. So, they didn't write that. And it really, that original song was not in praise of the lifestyle. It's a dire warning. You know, I'm just a miserable poor guy because I spent my money on whores.
Right. Yeah, there's no vulgarity or anything in that song.
Yeah, that's right. My issue would be, and somebody even said, hey, we could do such and such psalm and use this same melody. And I'm like, look, when a song has its deep in the saddle seat, let's let it be that song. Why don't you write something else? You know, come up with something better, something original, something that's not already taken, if you get my drift.
Well, I'll tell you one time that I was angered, and I was actually disgusted, to tell you the truth.
Ooh,
a church where I was invited to give my testimony, actually, they had a youth group leader leading the worship, and he actually had everybody sing Amazing Grace to the tune of Gilligan's Island. And the reason why that infuriated me is because you are making fun of something deeply important in the Christian life, and it's bordering on blasphemy when you're doing something in a comical vein like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there might have been some Rotten Tomatoes flung at the front of the auditorium if I'd have been there.
Well, we've got to go now because we've got to play your final song. But I just want to make sure that our listeners have your website, SyracuseBaptistChurch.com, SyracuseBaptistChurch.com. And we are now going to go out of our program for today. We hope everybody has a blessed Good Friday. And
amen.
And now you're going to hear the song, The Son of God Goes Forth to War.
Amen.
By Tim Bushong. And God bless everyone. I hope you always remember for the rest of your lives, Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Right on.
roar.